WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin'.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live Chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit code RockSock in the Fortnite item shop because hashtag epic partner. I am the producer, joined as always by the intern.
Hello, everybody. Are we going through a Genesis right now, Rock?
Ha. You're funny. No, we're about to cross the line, as we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live on twitch.tv/WTR Live. Chat room set up. Come and join us. Why not? We're going to be talking wrestling tonight, like we do pretty much every time we come on the interwebs and talk about stuff live.
Yes.
But I'm still waiting to get an answer to the question that I posed in the Discord chat, and I got one from the intern. It's your turn, Rock.
Oh, who's playing in the Super Bowl?
I'm figuring that your Eagles are going to make it.
I didn't want to answer one because the other game was still going on, so I don't know who they would, you know, be playing. And two, it all depends on the health of the quarterback, Jalen Hurts, because his left knee may be an issue going forward, so we'll have to wait and see, because his phrase coming out of it, he finished the game when asked about the health of his knee. He finished the game.
That's so, rather ominous, isn't it?
Okay, let me just say, this is not my fault. Not my fault.
You got close, though, Brian. You got close. So
I got close on both.
I know. He has his wrist wrapped at some point during the game.
It was right before the end of the second quarter. He tried to call himself out of the game and then played one more play. And then as soon as that play was over, he started jogging to the sideline and they went instantly looking at his hand and wrist.
Yeah. All right. The most superstitious fans of professional sport on the planet are hockey fans. The second most superstitious fans are NFL fans.
It's not No.
This all comes from yesterday when I joked to Rock. I was like, you know, it would really be awful if, you know, something were to happen to to your leading rusher, Saquon Barkley, or to, you know, your quarterback. It would just be a shame. And then Rock was like, if anything happens, you are the injury person. I want you to know that.
Yeah, that is very, I am not kidding you, one bit, that is very similar to watching your hockey team playing a game against division rival or whatever, and the goalie for your team is riding a goose egg, and some jackass gets on Twitter and tweets out, he's going to get a shutout. And then within 5 minutes, he lets in a goal.
Yeah, so we talked about it on CB Radio last night, and it was like, if you're going to jinx this, I'm going to kill you. So
the second most superstitious fans in the entire world, professional sports, are NFL fans. And is there credence to it? Well, if you believe the hype, blame the intern.
So, yeah, I think it's Chiefs, Eagles.
I don't know, the way Buffalo played today.
Buffalo didn't suck.
And Buffalo was playing in adverse conditions.
Yeah, but it's Buffalo. Was it really adverse conditions?
I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, that shit. If they played well with it in that kind of condition, then going to Kansas City may be even more of a benefit because they don't have to worry about those conditions unless a storm comes through. Well, Buffalo's used to that shit.
Yeah. And now for the absolute total non sequitur of the night. The latest Hellboy movie is so bad, it makes the David Harbour one look like a masterpiece. Hellboy, the Crooked Man. I'm just watching the end of it's coming up on my TV right now. And I got to go back and watch the Ron Perlman movies after this just to get this out of my head.
There you go. So
that's the non sequitur of the night.
That is the non sequitur of the night. But we have wrestling stuff to get into, including talking about Saturday night's main event, which will be happening this Saturday on NBC and streaming live on Peacock.
I predict there will be wrestling matches.
There will be wrestling matches, so we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But going on right now is the TNA Genesis pay-per-view, as Brent was alluding to in his open.
Cross the line.
I think, look, we were
did
across
you
the
see
line.
The size of the crowd in attendance?
Yeah, they've been drawing strong crowds lately.
There is a market for TNA.
You know, especially with the new deal in Canada where they have like the old WWE spot. So that's
pretty... Sportsnet 360 Monday nights at 6 o'clock Mountain, 8 o'clock Eastern.
I mean, is it better than the Dave and Buster's that AEW is in this week?
What, the crowd?
I'm kidding. I know it was a music center, but it looked like a Dave and Buster's at some point.
God, AEW is hurting for live attendance.
Yeah, they've transitioned to lower-end buildings to fill 1,500 to 2,000 people in them right now.
Well, and I talked about this with Rock and Lindsay in a private chat that we had. The thing that's amazing to me is that, and this goes into the topic we're kind of easing our way into, NXT put out promotion for TNA Genesis, was highlighting, you know, the big matches for the show.
Go Jordan Grace.
I can't tell you anywhere I see AEW marketing aside from a random commercial on TBS or TNT and the AEW social media. Or okay, let me rephrase that. And the absolute batshit crazy AEW fan who wants to try and say that this is the greatest show of all time every week.
Those yeah, you've got. Go ahead.
Those are the only like three places that I see any form of marketing for AEW, and it's one of those things. Like I told Rock and Lewis, like hell, go down to a Florida university and hire an intern to just take care of that for you. You will get so much better return.
Oh yeah, well, if you go to certain sports related websites, you will get AEW banners. But as for marketing, they need somebody who knows what the hell they're doing. Well, because right now, they've got nobody.
And my question to you is, okay, if you see AEW banners, are those the Google ads that are done specifically based on like what you've been searching for, so therefore it tailors it to you? Or are they legit paid for AEW banners?
They could be Google, but here's the thing. I don't do a shit ton of internet searches for AEW or WWE or even TNA or, you know, any of that stuff. I don't do a whole ton of web-specific, like brand-specific web searches. Also on my computer, I have all of the cookies and stuff blocked, and so third party advertising isn't able to track me as tightly as it would track somebody else who doesn't go in to set their shit up. So the main problem I have with AEW, okay, this is my rant on AEW and why I am only a part-time viewer. And I'd like to say hey to Trey Dog, who showed up in the chat room. Hey, Trey, long time no talk. I hope you're doing good. AEW is a turnoff to me because not because of the wrestling and the wrestlers. The work in the ring is good. Stories. Professional wrestling is storyline. It's not just about the matches. It's driven. Professional wrestling is a soap opera on steroids. Either perceived or, in fact, is irrelevant. It is exactly what it is. And the storytelling in AEW is not done very well in comparison to what we've been used to. I mean, I'm not a WWE fanboy. I like WWE because storylines are compelling because they're well written. You know, let's dive into the insider bit a little bit, and just talk about that part of it. If you've got people who write well, you're going to have a good product that people are going to want to follow. It's why the sitcom Friends was so big. It's why Seinfeld was so big. They had great writers. Personally, not a fan of Seinfeld because Jerry Seinfeld literally put me to sleep. I went and saw him in Las Vegas once and fell asleep halfway through his show. He was on for 45 minutes, got paid $400,000, and he was the second most boring thing I've ever experienced live. This is one of the problems I have with AEW. The other problem I have, and this is a really weird thing for a wrestling fan to say, if not aficionado, they put on too many goddamn matches on their on their PLEs especially.
Yeah, on their pay-per-views, they put 14 matches between the pre-show and the
match. And that's too goddamn much.
Yeah.
I mean, they've only done 12 recently, Rock. They've scaled back a bit. Let's be honest.
Down to 12. Okay, well, still.
That's okay, great.
You guys, am I wrong or do I have a point?
No, they have too many matches on the show. It should be 8 matches on the main show, 2 on a pre-show. And
that are very focused.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just reading the chat room, and not to keep bringing them up, but I'm with Trey. Scott D'Amore would be fantastic for them.
The biggest problem, like, don't get me wrong, they could do a number of things. They could have tried to reach out and get Paul Heyman. They could get Scott D'Amore. They could get a number of things.
Hell, they should reach out to Calgary and get a hold of Mark the Shark DiCarlo, for Christ's sakes.
I think the biggest problem. And, Rock, coming from a Cowboys fan, I will say this. The biggest problem they have is their owner.
Yes.
The fact that Tony Khan will not relinquish any form of booking or any kind of creative freedom whatsoever is what's going to hurt this company.
And Tony Khan's problem, his number one problem, is he's too much of a fanboy for himself.
No, it's not even that. His biggest problem is... You had a storyline that was going to try and take off a couple of months ago, and that was when the EVPs, you know, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, were going to take over AEW. They had them, Okada, and Jack Perry lined up to be this new faction that was going to run roughshod over AEW and exert their power. They had the storyline, and then the very next week, they neutered it because Tony Khan came out and basically was like, well, I'm still booking everything. And it's like, so you've completely killed this storyline in 6 days.
Think about this, Brett. That was 8 months ago.
That was, oh, dear God. They've been running.
And then they redid it with the Death Riders. They tried to take over the company, and they didn't. Like, the biggest one they tried was, as Trey mentioned about them taking over, was John Moxley takes over the Superstation and didn't actually take over the Superstation. He just came out and cut a promo.
Right. Well, and here's the other thing. Like, Trey brings up, you know, you let Kenny Omega debut his comeback in Japan. Yeah, you have your biggest quite possibly your biggest star. And, you know, no offense to Will Ospreay, to Adam Copeland. I'm not calling him by that fucking awful name.
Chicken.
John Moxley. You've got all of these guys, but I would argue your biggest star, wrestling-wise, is Kenny Omega, who has been gone for over a year with diverticulitis, a very serious disease. And his debut match is in fucking Japan. Not for you. It was a passing of the torch match with Gabe Kidd, with Kenny still going over. But you didn't market it at all on AEW television. Now, when he comes back, they're like, oh yeah, he was in Japan. That doesn't help you at all. If you had marketed, like, even on AEW TV, hey, we have this working relationship with New Japan, maybe we should say Kenny Omega is going to be there, you know, either defending AEW's honor or, you know, just even representing AEW. You get all of those fans who may not fully be New Japan people, although we know 99% of them are because they're only tailoring to those fans, but you can at least have them go build that relationship that you have with New Japan. You can still market the fact that, like, yes, Kenny Omega's coming back, and then you can see him for his first match in AEW, you know, in a week or two. But no, they don't even do that because Tony doesn't want to give any form of credit to anyone else. And that's the biggest, that's going to be the thing that ultimately does him in. That's where everyone said Vince McMahon was the problem. Guess what? Tony Khan is the same thing. Tony Khan is the Dodgers to Vince McMahon's New York Yankees. And the reason that WWE has undergone this renaissance is because the Yankees have taken a downfall, and now you've got other people that are able to step up, bring new ideas, and everyone is now looking at that going, wow, this is good. And so the landscape has changed, but Tony doesn't want to recognize that.
So they're doing this whole story about Mox holding this title back.
Yeah.
And they were building up to someone defending the company to get the belt back from him. They're baby faces. All these top baby faces.
Defending the honor of AEW. What AEW is versus what he thinks it should be.
Yeah, and Trey brings up Omega should have been one of them. Yeah, he should be at some point. But they're building it. They seemed like they were building for 2.5 months of Darby Allin would be the guy. And then he fucks off to climb a mountain. Then why include him in the storyline if he's just going to fuck off in 2 months? And then you have to wait 6 months, 5 months for him to get back.
Because, Brock, you have to write him off in a very stupid and dangerous way, which is exactly what they did.
But you're just going to hold up everything for 5 months until he gets back? When the storyline is not working.
Exactly.
But the storyline itself is not working. There should be a payoff. Every time, in every successful storyline, there's a point in the story where the good guy has to win. Not 10 months from now. It should be February or March, whenever Revolution is. That should have been the time. Hey, the baby face is going to beat Mox. But what baby faces do they have right now to do so?
You know what this is? This is the authority storyline for AEW. Remember when they were always going over and everyone got really, really sick of it?
At least that was compelling television.
Right, but here's the thing. I would argue that Darby Allin is not Bryan Danielson. He's not Daniel Bryan in that case. He's not going to be the one, you know, sure, is he a bit of a plucky underdog? Yeah, but at least with Bryan Danielson, it was like there was an aura about him. With Darby Allin, I watch him get his ass kicked on the regular. I watch him get thrown down fucking stairs, and then he fucks off for like 3 or 4 weeks. Why do I want to believe that that's the guy who's going to take down the Death Riders?
Because he actually has heart and determination, and he's been there since day one. That's why Will Ospreay in this situation would not work. Because he's a hired gun
that they brought in.
Yeah. He's not a guy who was there from the beginning to save the company. Can you bring back the Young Bucks as a babyface act at this point? After how they did things on their way out? It's tough.
And here's the thing, Shane McMahon coming in to save them wouldn't even work in that respect either, because that would just mean you have an outsider coming in.
And it would have been funnier 6 months ago when everyone thought it was happening, honestly.
But it's just like, well, last night is a perfect example of something. So you have...
Hold on, before you go.
Shane's
I think that was one of the original thoughts people had. He was going to be the guy leading the charge and trying to take over.
But then... I would argue with that, what you do at that point is you completely neuter Jon Moxley. If you have all of a sudden Shane McMahon come out of the woodwork to be like, haha, I'm the one pulling the strings. Well, congratulations. You just turned Moxley, who's been this buzzsaw, this unstoppable, and I mean, he no-sells more now than he's ever done before, which bugs the shit out of me. But you take this unstoppable guy that you've had that's run roughshod over your entire roster, and you now turn him into a lackey. That will kill his aura so quickly.
Yeah.
But I would say last night is a perfect example of something. So, Rock, did you know that a career ended probably last night?
That's what Twitter's telling me.
Yeah, everyone's going around talking about how that was the last match of Christopher Daniels' career. A random Texas death match on a Saturday night show that had fuck all people watching. That, to me, is very sad. Now, I understand he wants to try and help get Adam Page over. That is very admirable on his part, knowing his role as, you know, a veteran and wanting to help out his company. But for a guy who has wrestled in, and I mean for a very small part, WWE, WCW, he was in ECW for a little bit, wasn't he?
Who are you talking about?
Daniels.
I don't think he was in ECW. I don't think he never got to, he was Ring of Honor. He never got to ECW.
Okay. But big parts of Ring of Honor, New Japan,
WCW. He was.
I said WCW.
Yeah.
CMLL. He's been at those kinds of things. And you don't even give him a proper, like, send-off. It's just this random, he gets attacked by Adam Page, then he gets put in a Texas death match, he gets the shit beat out of him, and he's left laying with his own move at the very end.
Apparently that's what he wanted.
That's great! Make it a pay-per-view match, at least. Give yourself, you know, because now I go, what was, you know, okay, cool, he beat Christopher Daniels on a rant. That doesn't elevate Adam Page at all, in my opinion. It's just, okay, he just beat the hell out of an old guy. If you're going to do something like that, if you want to make it a big thing, then give him a pay-per-view match. Let him destroy Daniels for 5 minutes on a pay-per-view. Like we've talked about some other people doing, don't give him a 15-minute back-and-forth epic contest, but at least put it on a stage that looks grand and be like, wow, he just took him out. It's the same, you know, at least Bryan Danielson, and they made it a pay-per-view that it was like, well, that's the quote-unquote end of his full-time career, although we all know he'll be back at some point to wrestle still.
No, I don't think he will.
You think Bryan's completely out of the ring?
I think he's done. I don't think he's gonna heal enough to, maybe he'll wrestle once or twice, but I don't think he's gonna be healthy enough to get back.
I still think he may do like a special attraction thing. I think Daniels will probably step away.
Yeah, Daniels for sure.
He'll work the front office shit.
Yeah. There are tons of ways to have Mox come out, and this is the real the real hero. He finally has enough, and his babyface wife gets involved, and he flips the page, and boom, roof explodes, and Mox is back to is your 1A to Omega's 1B. Millions of ways to have Mox leave the Death Riders and flip back to AEW, and if it done right, comes out better than he was going in, because pre-Death Rider story, he was getting really fucking boring. Yeah, and this the Death Rider story has just made him, like, he was interesting the first couple of promos because there was intrigue, and then it lost all the intrigue, and here we are. So fun times.
And anyway, that's the discussion created by my rant on AEW.
So as we were saying, TNA and WWE are working together, which included Shante Adonis working the TNA Genesis pre-show tonight. Triple H out there retweeting TNA and putting over their pay-per-view on Twitter. Shawn putting it over on Twitter. They put out a press release and everything. They're so fancy. It's one of those things where, what do we see coming out of this partnership now that it's officially official?
WWE and TNA partnering up is nothing but beneficial for TNA. I mean, their loose association ship prior to this helped TNA out immensely. And being able to see some, you know, even if it's just a couple of the names that we saw, but being able to see a couple of them come on over and not made to be jobbers, but actually get a chance to showcase their talent while representing a different company is a breath of fresh air for both companies. This partnership is, it's not going to hurt WWE, and it's not going to do anything but benefit TNA. And one of the things I'm kind of happy about is my good buddy Champagne Singh might finally get some outdated merchandise. Come on, Raj.
Well, I think today was a very good example of what can and will come out of this relationship with WWE/NXT and TNA. Rock, what was the first match on the show? Do you remember?
Well, on what show? TNA tonight?
Yeah, on Genesis. What was the first match they had?
On the pre-show, it was Ashante, wasn't it? He did the open challenge against Jake something. That's all I've seen. I don't know anything else after that.
Right. No, that's exactly what I'm talking about. The fact that, so you had Ariana Grace come out, and she took credit for this partnership, which works great for her character and gives you a link between both because, of course, Santino's daughter. But the first thing that happened was Ashante the Adonis came out for an open challenge. This NXT talent, this WWE talent came out and was like, I want to face someone. Jake something came out and beat him. That shows that WWE is willing to send people over, and it's not going to be, well, you're going to put our guys over no matter what. It's, we're going to send over a guy, you know, a good talent, and you can use him, and, you know, they can help get some of your people over, and it gives him experience. Boom. That's how the partnership should work. It should be, we're loan talent back and forth, and they have to look credible, so it's that kind of thing of, they don't have to win all the time, but they need to still look reputable. A good example of that is Joe Hendry. He had come over, and he'd had matches. He was fighting for the NXT title. Now, he didn't win the NXT title, but it's still one of those things of, he was made to look like a big deal. And I think his stock increased from this relationship, rather than like, oh, he came over, he was fodder for NXT, he's in a worse spot now. Hell, he's fighting for the TNA championship on this pay-per-view. He could be coming in 2 weeks to the Royal Rumble, possibly, holding the TNA title and being introduced as such.
Yeah. Also, your NXT tag team champions were at ringside for the tag team title match between the Hardys and the Rascals. And Pair just is just in, they will defend the NXT tag team titles against the Rascals on Impact this Thursday live.
Huh. So you get NXT exposure on Impact. You're going to feature two really good tag teams who are going to put on one hell of a fucking match.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty good for them. Both sides.
Yeah.
And the thing is if you have NXT people, you've already introduced the Rascals to that audience. Now, you already knew Zachary Wentz. You may not have had a lot of experience with Trey Miguel, but he was able to go on NXT TV. He got some exposure. Now, if you watch Impact next week, you're like, oh yeah, I remember both those guys, and I already know Fraxium. We've seen them perform. Huh. I kind of want to see this.
Yep.
It's not, you know, lol, Fraxium's going to go over easy because WWE is the machine. It's, you're going to get a really damn good match out of it.
Seems like it's only going to be positive. And they'll give, see, the one point is, it's going to give a lot of talent, not even the bigger NXT talent, some of the lower end NXT talent, because they only do house shows once or twice a month, another place to work.
Yeah, it gets you exposure, gets you used to working TV, which is big for NXT and WWE, especially for the fact that NXT is now on broadcast television, not cable, but broadcast on the CW, which means you have to really bring your A game because you're working to a larger audience. Impact is one of those places you can get a little bit more camera work in a not as stressful environment. And who knows, we may see a walking weapon come to NXT fairly soon from what happened tonight.
Yeah.
Because apparently he quit, and I use that in the air quotes, TNA.
His contract is up, yeah.
His contract's up, but it's also, I mean, if you have this relationship, he could show up in NXT. He could show up, you know, in AEW. Anywhere he goes, they're going to get a good athlete.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen Josh Alexander, really good grappler. But, you know, if you do that, this gives you that opportunity where it's like, yeah, he can jump ship and it's not going to be, you know, a detriment. And plus, he still will be able to work with a lot of the people he knows.
Can only help.
Yep. But yeah, they're marketing the shit out of this so far already, only, you know, a few days in. And it's good to see because both people are going to get benefits of this, especially a TNA where it's like you're going to end up on broadcast television, possibly. You get to feature some of your really big people if you want, like Masha Slamovich and Jordan Grace and a couple of other people on a really big audience that you wouldn't normally get on. Are they still on Access?
Yes.
Okay. That tells you something when it's like, are they still on this channel?
Yeah. And who knows, it could help them further a TV deal here in the United States with more exposure.
Can you imagine if TNA gets an actual TV deal ahead of Ring of Honor?
I mean...
I'd argue there's more talent in TNA right now.
I mean... Can't even tell who's in Ring of Honor at this point. Because it's just AEW's roster at this point. I mean, Jericho's their world champion for whatever reason.
Lee Moriarty is there. Well, wait, who's the Ring of Honor tag? Oh, the Ring of Honor tag champs, I forgot. The Sons of Texas.
Yeah, Guevara and
took me Rhodes. A moment to remember that.
I had to think of who that was for a second. I was like, oh yeah, it's Guevara and Rhodes.
Who last defended their belts in Japan.
At least they defended them. So there is that. Someone who will not be calling any of this action right now is Corey Graves. Because he's been, I guess, demoted from his job on SmackDown because they moved the Raw announcers to SmackDown. And they moved Michael Cole to Raw to go with McAfee. And they moved Barrett and Tessitore to SmackDown. And then they tried to send Corey to NXT. And Corey's face in the first night he was there was a little depressed. And then he ran it on Twitter about not being famous enough to keep his job or something.
And immediately half of social media went, it's a work. The other half went, it's a shoot. And that's what we got right now. One side of the arena saying shoot, the other side saying work. Because what are the work speculators setting up? A match between him and Pat McAfee, potentially down the road?
No.
That's not a money match. Well, no, I mean, they've hinted at stuff between him and Pat before, like when Pat came out for the Royal Rumble. Like, they've hinted at stuff, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I am not a good person to ask on this question.
Well, the number one thing is, and Lindsay posted it in chat. Hi, Lindsay. Has Graves been cleared?
Yeah, yes, he's cleared to do things. That is, if he would like to do things. But again, I don't know if he wants to risk his health getting back in the ring.
That's just it. It was a pretty serious thing that knocked him out of the ring.
Yeah, a couple of concussions will do that to you. But I think for me, it's really hard because I look at this, and Rock knows my level of work that I do. Mm-hmm. Hashtag no days off. I look at this, and I'm not trying to say, you know, Corey Graves is lucky to have a job. No. But at the same time, I look at this like, Corey, sometimes you have to play ball. And I get that, like, yes, he's been on the biggest stages. He's been given opportunities that people would kill for. But at the same time, sometimes they need you to take certain roles. And I get that he may be pissed that Pat McAfee has come in, essentially took his spot, and it kicked him to NXT for right now.
You know, there's another way to look at it that people haven't really touched on. He's not been demoted. He's been moved over laterally to help bring it up because he's got the ability to do so, and NXT needs that.
Well, I was going to say
100% speculation. However, it's just reminiscent of the situation my old man was in. We got transferred to a small town in Ontario to a radio station that was on its last legs. In 3 years, he made that radio station the number one radio station in southwestern Ontario, eastern Michigan, and northern Ohio. So this is what I'm talking about.
Well, what I was going to say is this idea that Pat McAfee's only going to be around for 6 months. Yep. Because, Rock, remind me, he has a pretty big commitment otherwise, correct?
Yeah, about 8-9 months. I'd say till late August.
Okay, but when it comes to August through January, the man is pretty much not committal because he has to go, I don't know, call football. And I think the problem now is if you're Corey Graves, and let's say you took this assignment to NXT, you may not have been happy with it, but you're like, all right, I'm going to go. I'm going to give my best broadcast that I can down there. Guess what? Come August, when Pat has to go away, the first thing they're going to do is call and be like, hey, Corey, we know we can trust you. We got to put you on Netflix. We got to put you on there for, you know, the next couple of months. Can you help us out? And now all of a sudden, you're doing them a favor. It's okay. Yep, sure. I'm going to step in and do that. One of the people who I will say, like, yes, the WWE kind of treated him like shit, but understood roles was JR. JR would get constantly moved. Guess what? We need to put you on SmackDown. Okay. He might not be happy, but he'll go work it. And he still put out great commentary. And yet, you know, they would help him out whenever he needed it as well. I think another part of this is, like Tim talked about, it could be, you know, helping elevate NXT. It also is, if I was Corey Graves, I'd look at this and go, wait, they're putting me on network television,
which he just was for 5 years.
Right. I'd look at this and go, wait, you're putting me on network, which is a bigger audience than, say, SmackDown. Maybe they need me to be in a bigger spot with this.
Bingo.
I'm going to try and give it my all. And again, if you do that, the company will recognize it and they will be like, you know what? You're doing a fantastic job. It's not going to, the way that he's treating it, the company is going to look at him and be like, so it's all about you. Got it. And that's where part of the problem is. Trust me, there's been plenty of times I've had to, you know, I've not been happy with the decision, or I'm like, shit. But at sometimes it's like, well, maybe if I do this, they'll do me a solid. And sometimes it's worked out. I'm given latitude at my job based upon stuff I've been able to help them with. So
basically, if you're a company person, a team player, you get rewarded for being a team player.
Yeah, and I'm not saying he needs to kiss the ass of WWE. I'm not saying he's going to be like, this is the greatest assignment. You could be like, you know, I'm disappointed at this, but while I'm there, I'm going to give you my best work. And they'll probably go, you know what? We respect that. Like, in this situation, we have to do this because we just signed Joe. We have Wade there. You know, we've got Michael Cole, who's, you know, fulfilling his role. But who knows how long Cole's going to be there? Made yourself a problem.
Yeah, Cole's trying to wind down at some point. Cut back some days.
And you could have been the voice. You could have been the go-to guy. But now you're going to have to mend some bridges.
Back up to that again.
Yeah, you've got to mend bridges, and you've got to show that, like, hey, this might suck, but I'm willing to do it. Let's go.
I still want it to be an angle.
I think it could. They still have a chance of turning it into one, but honestly, I don't think an announcer angle is really, you know, a big thing. Would it be a Saturday Night Live, or would it be a Saturday Night's Main Event kind of match? Sure. Does it belong on a pay-per-view? No. Especially not with the way pay-per-views are built nowadays. I'm sorry, premium live events. My bad.
Yeah, what's a pay-per-view?
TNA right now?
Which is Cora Jade challenging their TNA Women's Champion.
Wait, what?
Cora Jade just appeared.
Oh, hey. So, that's a good little get right there.
Yeah, so they're still, I think, their main event, so we'll see if another NXT talent shows up. Moving on a little bit, because he could have been calling this show, but no, it'll be Michael Cole and Pat McAfee calling this show. Saturday Night's Main Event is this Saturday on Peacock, on NBC and Peacock, and I think it's on international Netflix. We have 3 matches announced, probably one more added, because there hasn't been an announced women's match, so that'll probably be thrown on based on what happens Monday or on Friday. We got 3 matches announced, including Braun Strowman and Jacob Fatu, Brent.
Yeah, this one's interesting to me based on what happened on Friday. And I don't mean necessarily with Braun and Jacob. I mean with what happened with Solo and Jacob.
Uh-huh.
And there was the story that came out of this, like, oh, they changed what happened with Solo. He was supposed to start talking about what happened at Netflix with Tribal Combat. But I honestly think this works out better because Solo came out. And any time he tried to talk, those fans let him know. And it eventually got to the point where he just dropped the mic, took his jacket off, and walked through the crowd, took his ball, and went home. So we don't get that kind of payoff of, does he acknowledge Roman or what? But what that moment did was allow the spotlight to go on to Jacob Fatu, and holy shit, did he run with it. He only cut a minute and a half promo, but honestly, the way he commanded the ring, the way that he shut the fans up when they were trying to do the what chant, he just kind of simply changed his cadence and was talking, and the fans couldn't interject the way that they wanted to, and just the presence he had with it, it made you want to see him. And he was saying, essentially, like, you think I'm crazy? You think I'm, you know, unhinged? You haven't seen anything yet. And then Braun gets in the ring, and Jacob wants to stand toe-to-toe, and it took Tama to grab his ass and pull him out of the ring. But it's one of those things of this match makes me want to see it, because if Jacob can go out and beat a Braun Strowman, and beat him, you know, fairly decisively, it doesn't need to be a squash, but if Jacob can stand toe-to-toe with him, that's going to take him up a level.
So who would you have winning this one?
I'd give it to Jacob, hands down.
What about you, Tim? Would you have Jacob Fatu beat Braun Strowman?
Not cleanly, but yes.
Why not cleanly?
If you want to do this, could wind up being a very nice, tidy little sub story, sub angle that blossoms. And my brain is just telling me, you know, stick with what works. Make it a controversial victory.
Now,
because you've got the monster among men chasing your ass because you screwed them over, and you're a fan. As a fan, you're watching this and you're seeing this guy become like the Incredible Hulk. The more pissed off he gets, the bigger and stronger he becomes, and the more unhinged.
Okay. Now,
not to mix my MCU characters, but when Strowman goes berserker, he's more entertaining.
Okay. Now, Tim, would you give Sheamus his Intercontinental Championship when he takes on Bron Breakker this Saturday?
Oh, that's a really tough one. I mean, I've grudgingly and slowly come around to become a fan of Sheamus after we've spent several years collectively bashing him from his debut. But I don't think the time is right yet to take it up Breakker.
So you're going to stick with Braun as the
Intercontinental? Yeah, it's like, oh shit, what do you want to have happen? I mean, Sheamus deserves some accolades and such, but is he at that point in his career now where he's the enhancement veteran?
But it's the only championship he's never held.
This is also true. Now, the thing is, if Breakker retains, what are you going to do to stretch this program out?
I don't think you do, because I think you've stretched it out enough.
That's the issue. And that's why I'm having a really, really, really hard time with this.
But you could also have Sheamus win and do the rematch in 1 week at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And Bron Breakker can get his title back.
And this is where it's iffy and dicey and tricky, right? And just thinking about it, and I hate being stuck in the, oh, I know what, because they've always done the same damn thing, and they're not doing the same shit that they used to do all the time anymore, and that's just it. And you never want to hotshot a title, but he's lost it once and gotten it back. Can he lose it twice and get it back? Why not? This is the hardship I'm having with that match. Get it? I mean, I love your proposed booking up. Why not?
I mean, it's doable.
It would work for me.
But you're going to go still Bron Breakker retain.
And I'm probably, it's probably stupid of me to do so, but I'm going to be stubborn on this one.
Brent, what's your line of thinking?
Just call it a lack of faith.
All right, Brent, what's your thoughts?
See, in this situation, you could play off of something that has happened to Braun before, and you get a second match out of this, while, in my opinion, you give Sheamus his flowers. You let him become a Grand Slam champion, because, as you talked about, this is the only, and this has been something that they've harped on for at least a year, that this is the only belt Sheamus has not held for a Grand Slam. Now, like Tim said, Sheamus is at the point of the career where, yeah, he is more of an enhancement guy. He is, you know, he doesn't need wins in order to cement what he is. He's already going to be a Hall of Famer based upon, you know, how many world titles he's had, how many other titles he's had. You know, he had a very lengthy and good tag team title run with Cesaro. I don't think anyone would look at Sheamus and be like, is he a Hall of Famer? I think you can look at his resume and be like, yep, he's going in. When the time's right, he's going in. But I think in this opportunity, you can have the chance to, you can let Sheamus pick up a win, and the way that you do it is Sheamus is a smart veteran. Braun has been, for the length of his NXT and Raw career, he's still a very impulsive young wrestler. He relies a lot on his speed and strength. He doesn't necessarily have a lot of the upstairs that, you know, you see from someone like a Randy Orton being this, you know, being in this stage of his career, or a Sheamus, or a Sami Zayn. And we saw Sami take advantage of that. He beat Braun, and even with Jey Uso, Jey capitalized, was able to get that. But yet Braun was able to come back, realize what his mistake was, and take out Jey Uso to get the belt back, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, what I would do is I could have Sheamus win this. And either what you do, I mean, Braun holding that belt, cool. But is it really doing a lot for him? Or if you give it to Sheamus, could you have him help elevate someone like, I don't know, Ludwig? Let Ludwig get that first title and he doesn't have to beat Braun for it. Or you have Braun lose the belt here, and then if you want to, you put that second match on at Royal Rumble, allow him to realize his mistake, pick the belt back up. Or do you want someone like Braun to be able to go into the Rumble, which he would be more apt to do if he's not having to wrestle the IC title match? Yes, I know that they can pull double duty because it's the Rumble, but in this case, you could just have Braun go in, run rush, you know, be the beast of this Royal Rumble, like we've seen him do in the past. Just go in, hit a couple of spears, chuck people out, look like a goddamn monster, and try and take that next step. Either way, I would say in this case, plus with it being Saturday night's main event, if you have an IC title change here, it now becomes a little bit more, hey, we don't know what's going to happen on a Saturday night's main event. Maybe you need to tune in to watch this. There could be title changes. There could be, you know, big things that come from this. So I would go Sheamus in this respect.
Yeet or no yeet? Do you finally put the world championship on Jey Uso as he challenges Gunther this Saturday, Brent?
Don't get me wrong. I love me some Jey Uso. In this case, no yeet. I think Jey can be a very credible threat to Gunther. I think they'll put on a good match. I think right now Gunther is not dropping that belt yet. I will say I really hope they don't go with the WrestleMania plan that we'd heard. I don't know if that elevates Gunther at all at WrestleMania.
What is this plan that I haven't heard?
Gunther versus the Maverick.
Hmm.
Although he's also been rumored to be a Cena opponent, but who knows? In this case, I think Gunther will pick up the win here. I think Jey puts out a good effort. He's been hanging up around there in that main event, living up to that main event Jey Uso title. And I think doing so just keeps giving him some credibility so that when he eventually does get the title, it doesn't feel like it came out of nowhere. I just don't think right now going into Rumble and then the build for Mania, it's quite the point where you're like, yep, Jey Uso's who we think is going to run through here.
Yeet or no yeet for Jey Uso getting the title?
I yeet eventually, but not next Saturday. At some point in time, Jey will carry that belt for a chunk of change. But it's not happening yet because, and I'm not even going to say a damn thing until after the Rumble. Until the Rumble night. But I've got thoughts on who's going to win the Rumble. And the person that wins the Rumble is the one who's going to be Gunther.
And that's a next week discussion.
Yep.
So you have Gunther retaining then?
I do so.
All right, that'll be Saturday night's main event. They'll probably add another match. They're also going to be the contract signing for the ladder match between Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes with special guest Shawn Michaels overseeing the contract signing. So who knows what happened there.
They both get sweet chin music for being jerks in the ring and not listening to instructions properly.
Sean, don't take a bump.
But with that, I say we're done for the night, Tim.
That's it for tonight, but the fun never ends because it picks up tomorrow immediately following Raw on Netflix, kids.
Once Raw on Netflix ends, we're live, I assume 10:30. That seems like a logical time. 10:30 Eastern. We live. Whatever. We'll see. Whatever. Whenever it ends, we're live. It's a Raw Post Show. Live every Monday night.
There you go. Tuesday and Wednesday, yeah, see a lot happening. I mean, yeah, okay, you got NXT and then you got AEW, but like with us, I don't see a lot happening. However, Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, it's another episode of the multi-time, multi-award-winning Rack Radio Show with the multi-time, multi-award-winning lovely Lindsay Ward. And she'll be dragging Rock into conversations.
And most likely you and Brant and Casey as well, because we're going to do news, and then we're going to most likely, if everything works out correctly, do the WTR Fantasy Draft Season 20 this Thursday on the Rack. So Tim and Casey.
Wow, I'm finally being invited to be a guest on the Rack.
Yeah, I'll be a party this Thursday.
Will my partner be there?
We'll talk about that.
Oh.
We'll talk about that. It's the WTR Fantasy Draft Season 20 this Thursday.
That'll be something different. Let me guess, it'll be Team Canada, Team One Brain, and Team Intern.
We'll talk about it.
Drop paper straws, because plastic's banned.
Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. It's CB Radio. I forget what we're doing this week. I think we're doing ChatGPT says this week. I think that's the plan this week.
Believe so.
I think that's the plan. This week we're going to do that. And then we'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Preview the Royal Rumble. Speaking of the Royal Rumble entry contest is going to be drawn next week. Just say I'm in and you can get your spot in the WTR entry drawing contest. So that's simple, it's easy. There's a bunch of Twitter posts, there's Facebook posts. Just say I'm in on one of the posts. We'll add you to the list. We're doing the drawing next Sunday on WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yeah, don't lollygag, don't dawdle, don't take your time. Spots are being filled up and potential numbers are being filled. So just say I'm in ASAP.
Exactly, because they are about two-thirds of the way filled, so only a few spots remain on that. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Tim is on the socials.
I am. Follow me at Flames Forums. I got a whole bunch of stuff going on, not just hockey. I'm going to be talking about other sports, like I always do. And other things as well. I've actually started creating different memes and stuff like that that some people are finding kind of cute. So what's the latest one going to be? Well, follow me and you'll find out for free, because I don't charge a premium.
Right.
I mean, you can find me on various social medias, X/Twitter, well, as long as that's still around, Instagram, as long as that's still active, Blue Sky Threads, you know, unless they get closed down. You can find me on any of those platforms at Kane Kittens or at Kane.Kittens. I'm somewhere on there. Don't, you know, we'll see how that goes. In the near future. But yeah, or you can find me on Saturday nights doing the Intern's Corner and apparently coming from behind and winning the true-false for 90s video games. So, yay.
Indeed. Chat, as a reminder, if you have Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. By clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen, you can use Creator Code Rockets like in Fortnite Item Shop or Epic Game Store, because hashtag Epic Partner. Send us home, Tim.
Well, that's it. That's all she wrote. Everybody, thanks for joining us tonight. Enjoy your week. Those of you in the Arctic of Canada, that's just like an Arctic front has moved down from the Arctic and is blanketing most of Canada. It's going to be minus 24 Celsius overnight where I am tonight. Then it warms up. But East Canada is going to get like the massively frigid temperatures. That's why I'm saying Arctic Canada.
We're getting single digits too.
So it's yeah, cold. it's reaching as far down as Philly, eh?
Yeah, it's cold. Snow. It's cold.
Maybe. But things are heating up in the NFL, so keep an eye on it. Got two more games to go before the big show, don't we?
Yeah.
Yep.
Look out. And call it right now. It's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. If you know, you know. Have a great week, everybody.
WildTalkRadio.com.